Well, we're here. It's a live G30 podcast on our here we are, looking good. Better cameras, better quality here for everyone. How you doing today, Mike?
We're doing good, man. Now 20 years old, so that's interesting.
Yeah, walk us a little bit through your birthday. Don't give us like the X-rated details. We don't need that.
Yeah.
But how was your 20th birthday, my friend?
Festivities were great. It was able to be around a lot of my friends and great people, so shout out to everyone that made it a great day and, you know, celebrating more life these days. So
that's good. Yeah, life is, you know, like, oh, Timmy's with us. What's up, Timmy? Timmy's in the chat. We have better access to the chat now. This is amazing. But happy birthday to you, my friend. Both of Leos, which is
Leo birthdays. Yeah,
Leo birthdays. I'm wearing my old Deuce style USA jersey today because I wanted to ask you about that that Deuce promo. Deuce is your guy, Clint Dempsey.
Love him.
How do you feel about that FIFA 22 promo where he's fishing?
I think the FIFA 22 promo was funny, and I like what they're doing with the Foot Heroes, how they're bringing Dempsey, Keane is one. I think it's a really cool promo. It's I think it's going to allow for people who want to play with different cards that don't fit the meta a way to incorporate different guys. Like, you know, because realistically, no one used the Donovan Legend card when that was a thing. So I think it's a cool way to incorporate icons that weren't great, but still enough to be deemed like a cult hero. So
yeah, that's interesting. I think cult heroes like Dempsey and Donovan, like when I was growing up, that was the team, man. And like now we have a team that I saw thing that was projecting the US team to be in the top 10 in the FIFA top rankings.
Yeah. We're like number 9, but we're there.
Yeah, which is crazy, like under Portugal. You know, we're making moves. I've never seen them that high up in the ranking in my time.
For sure.
But we're not here to talk about the USA. We are here to talk about the LA Galaxy. Coming off of a very frustrating performance against Vancouver.
Another one,
a 1-1 draw. So let me tell you this. Can I tell you really quickly what I've been saying to people, and then maybe we can log your reaction to it? So
yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, so I've been saying that while we had a chance to grab number one, this result is a clear indicator that we are not deserving or ready to be number one yet. And that is okay. Again, I caught some flack online because it seemed that people felt that what me saying that was accepting mediocrity, when I think what I'm trying to get across is that it's okay to take an honest assessment at this point in the season. We know Greg Vanney has achieved his points goal. The team has achieved their points goal. Bond thought it was ambitious, but they got there. What do you think?
I mean, I'm completely on the same page with you there. I mean, there's no reason to be delusional and say that you're accepting mediocrity. It shows that championship teams in those positions or in these games where, you know, you're playing someone a little bit down the table, there's no room for error. Big championship teams walk out more often than not with all 3 points. And I completely agree. It's reflective of where we're at in Vanney establishing his system and how the process is a real thing and how we're still trying to get guys incorporated. So I think we're still a few paces off, or we're off the pace of being a number one championship team, but expect the form that we're on to keep going. And sooner than later, we will be able to go into those games and pick up all 3 points.
Right. I think that Timmy says in the chat, patiently waiting like 50 Cent. That's what we're doing right now with this Galaxy team. That's a good reference, Tim. You know, it is what it is. And I choose, and maybe this is me being optimistic again, but I choose to feel that it is a positive that we have not peaked yet, that we don't have all the pieces yet. We have this kid, Nico Hamalainen, coming in. We have, for sure, I think his name now is pronounced Dion Jovelovic. We're working on that one still. Who can make an appearance as soon as Saturday if his visa comes through. Mm-hmm. It's been said that he is training with the team already. So we haven't even hit yet, and Chicharito is still out. Whatever. Let's talk about this Vancouver game though. Cabral gets his goal. Reaction to the goal, Mike?
Just glad he put it away, right? I think we all had a big sigh of relief when he found it back to the net. So I'm happy for the guy. He needs one, right, to get it rolling. So hopefully he can build on that.
What's crazy is that he has one earlier in the year we all forgot about. Mm-hmm. He couldn't buy any even in the start of this game. But he has tucked it away neatly there. Mm-hmm. Grancer fluffed a goal. Like, we missed a million chances this game.
Yeah.
We missed a million chances this game and let our foot off the gas. And I think we have a problem with playing down again. And I know you've talked a little bit about that. Do you think we're playing down to these teams, or do you think it's more about the fact that we might just be a little bit too overconfident in these situations?
I mean, it's both. For you to play down to someone, you have to have a feeling of confidence and a feeling of complacency where it's like, hey, these guys are bottom of the barrel. But I don't see why that would be the case when we've, in three of our meetings this year, we haven't walked away with full points against Vancouver. I think it's two draws and no, we did beat them once. We beat them once. We did get 3 points, and then we've lost and we've drawn our last two.
Vancouver is just the boogeyman for whatever reason. I feel like we're both speechless. It's like, I don't know. Like,
don't know what to tell you. It's an instance where, you know, you go in and you play the top table teams and you do get results, and you know, you go play Vancouver and you're in front of your home fans and you're thinking, hey, maybe we will be able to get this done. But you know, they slammed the door on us, and not slammed the door, but they were able to not let us walk away with all 3 points. So their job was accomplished. They got the crucial point that they're needing, and we didn't get the 3 that we wanted. So
yeah, it feels like a loss. Mike Gray, a really cool media reporter, if you don't know him, Mike Gray on Twitter and Instagram, and he runs the El Tráfico media website where he does writings on the Galaxy. You know, he posted a thing over the weekend or after the game or whatever. He said something about, like, no more moral victories. Like we're sick of having moral victories, I think, as Galaxy fans. And it's like, this is a lot. This feels like a loss. It is a loss. It would have looked really good to be in first place, but I don't think we deserved it. And that I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing at this point. We can do our usual standings watch right now. We are sitting on 32 points. We're sitting 2 points from the top. KC held on to the top. Seattle is second. We're third. And Colorado trails us behind, followed by Minnesota. And those are our next two games, I believe. Minnesota away is going to be hard. Some shit always happens over there. I really hope we have Kvelic, to play that game, because I hate seeing Cabral play the nine role
by himself.
He said, okay, so he said, let's get this. He said they asked him where he was comfortable over the weekend in the presser, and oh hey, yerba mate G30 brought to you by yerba mate. So he was asked over the weekend where he was comfortable, and he said that he liked to play with another forward. So I don't know if that means that he wanted to play on the wing with a forward, or if he wanted to play a second striker in a two striker formation. But ultimately, the main takeaway was that he was saying that he'll get comfortable playing wherever. Do you buy it? And if so, or if not, like, where do you think his head is at? And what do you think he needs to do at this point, now that we've seen what we've seen, to get to where he needs to go?
I think that we need to see Cabral be as versatile as he can to find a spot within this team.
Or as versatile as he's saying he can be.
Yeah, as he can be. Yeah, we need to see it, and we need to see consistency. I think you were right with the latter. I think he wants to play in a two-striker. He can play the wing, and that is, it seems like his natural position is the wing. So he doesn't necessarily do a good job at that, or he hasn't these past few weeks. So I'm thinking if we can find a way to incorporate a second forward or a two-striker formation, which I think would kind of be pointless to the momentum we've been building under this new system, to completely like scrap it for one guy. I think it'd be pointless, but I'm going to need to see consistency. And I think at this point, we're all sort of craving a little bit of consistency from him because we know how good he is and we know what he can provide, but he has his bright moments, but more often than not, I am left questioning him more than I am reaffirmed by his performances. So,
yeah, I'm worried about, I'm not like trying to shit on him, but I'm worried. No. I'm worried about like
where his head's at,
Where his head's at, and like why he receives the ball the way he does. He like gives it up. He like flails with the ball. Mm-hmm. He tries to do this ball pull.
Like a little drag back.
Yeah, and he loses the ball. So yeah. I don't know. I think he is, and I think I've read that people feel that he is struggling with the physicality of the league. I think he needs 10-15 pounds to play in this league.
In the last episode when you guys had when you guys had discussed about Jovlic, I had an interesting point that I wanted to bring up, and I feel like it could benefit both Cabral and Granitzer in the sense where, hey, you have three of these guys who have played European level soccer or European level football, and you have they see the game a lot quicker. So maybe the inclusion of Jovlic into this starting 11, whenever that may be, will provide Cabral with a little bit of more service and a little bit of, hey, we've both seen the same shit. We've both seen the same game.
Right.
And they are a page ahead, or they're a step ahead compared to the other players. And that's good that we have all three of them in attack. So maybe it could provide Cabral with more outlets, or maybe Jovlic could even find Cabral in those situations where, hey, maybe Leggett won't pick him up. Hey, maybe Efra won't pick him up, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think Efra's getting to where he needs to be. Jonah looked not great.
He played a great game. Efra played a great game.
Efra's killing it, dude. But Leggett and Jonah, these guys that are like yo-yos, you know, I don't know. We'll see. The Gold Cup was tiring. I feel like we still haven't had enough playing time together with what will be the 11. So who knows?
We will see.
Let's do. Let's talk about Minnesota really quickly. They are surging. I think this is going to be a tough game. Up at the Allianz up there. I don't know. The Loons are always surprising. They have a good team. They have a good coach. Adrian Heath is awesome. And they battle, and they are a club that seems committed to the process, whether they suck or whether they're good. And I think that they are less in their heads than we can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. What do you think we do with this Minnesota game here?
Like you said, I hope Jovlic can be available for Saturday. And if he can play, I'd like to see him come off the bench. Or even start, for that matter. Maybe just throw something new and don't be as two-dimensional as we have been. As we saw in Vancouver, we looked very flat for the most part. I didn't really see anything that really jumped out to me besides the missed chances. We've shown we're not clinical. So maybe if we can throw in Jovlic and get Cabral or Granitzer involved, I think that'd be great. But we just need to come in and be clinical. We're lacking a killer edge.
And in your words, you think this dude's a killer. So
yeah, I think Jovlic is great, man. I think he reminds me of a Diego Costa, where he's not necessarily the fastest, but he is sort of a talisman. He's a poacher. He can get to positions where, hey, I'm not gonna sprint past you, but I'm gonna be in the 18, or I'm gonna be somewhere in the box and get you 10-15 goals a season. So hopefully we can see that from him. And I'd like to see that from him as soon as possible too.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot about him being compared to like a young Chicharito in that way. So hopefully the man delivers. Speaking of the man, let's talk about this controversy. Timmy brought it up earlier. He can't be here. He's on vacation. We're jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Your snaps look beautiful from Hawaii, by the way, buddy.
Yeah. So there is this idea starting to percolate about Chicharito being held out, and the conspiracy is that he is being held out so that he can for sure participate in the All-Star game ahead of the El Tráfico. So that's going to be a two-game week for Cheech and Julian as well. They are going to play in the All-Star game, and then we have El Tráfico that weekend at the bank. What do you think? Do you believe the Greg, you know, we're taking it slow, there's been some setbacks, or do you think they're babying him for this All-Star game? Which admittedly, hold on. I hate it. I'm a little excited for because the lineup looks so good, but I don't know.
I'm personally not a big fan of any All-Star game in any sport. I think it's unnecessary. I would rather you, let's say, just get the award and have you be an All-Star and, you know, you get posted with your class, like the class of 21 All-Stars, and have it be that, because it provides unnecessary risk.
Card. Yeah.
Yeah, it provides an unnecessary risk that we don't need to be taking with Cheech and other players as well, not to be like, oh, let's baby us. It's literally everyone star player or anyone that decides to participate is put at risk. So I wouldn't be surprised because the league wants to make money.
Yeah, for sure.
The league wants to make money. Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised. If Cheech got scratched from that lineup, dude, I could see a bunch of people maybe not wanting to tune in, you know? Yeah, who doesn't want to see Vela and Cheech play together as much as, like, I'm like, fuck that guy. It's like, it's big names. It's the moneymakers.
And they'll all play 10 minutes and whatever, but it is an unnecessary risk. And I posted and talked about how upset I would be if his first game back is the All-Star game, because that's just, like, blatant. Like,
they were holding
him. They were holding him, so I hope not. So that kind of brings us into this realm of hot buttonness. So I want to ask you a couple hot button questions or talk about a couple of hot button things with you. Let's do the power rankings.
I haven't even looked. I stopped looking.
So I'll read
that. I forgot the guy's name, dude. Oh, Sam J. Jones. That's his name. I'm still coming for your job, buddy. I will do it for free.
Sam Jones. So Sam Jones has this whole, like, disclaimer at the top of the power ranking now because people have come after him. Okay. So we're in the top six. So one is New England Revolution, absolutely. Sporting Kansas City, absolutely. Seattle, absolutely. NYCFC, quiet, but absolutely. Colorado Rapids, also quiet, absolutely. And then we have us at six, up from eight. He says, I have a feeling Galaxy fans are going to feel some type of way about being put below Colorado. If it makes anyone feel any better, we're talking tenths of a point difference on their average placement in the voting here. If it makes you feel any worse, the Galaxy's goal differential, both real and expected, indicates putting Colorado a spot ahead. Our goal differential sucks. That's true.
Yeah.
But full credit to the Galaxy. Both those numbers have been improving, and only one of them is in the negatives now. More importantly, they made it through the Gold Cup while staying just 2 points away from the top of the West. Now, Jonathan Dos Santos, Sebastian Legette, and Efra Alvarez are back. They've added QPR defender Nico Hamalainen on loan with U22 initiative forward Dion Jovelic. All the Galaxy are doing now is waiting for Chicharito to show back up. They can think about making a serious push toward the top of the conference. Considering who they're bringing in, they may not even need him to hurry. Reaction?
Yeah, the one time that I do agree with this guy, I completely agree. Our goal differential sucks. I mean, it's actually really well written. You know what, Sam Jones? You did. That was fantastic. You get my approval for that. I mean, he laid it all out, man. What else do you want me to say?
It was fair.
We don't have Cheech, and, you know, we have all these young guys that are going to help us hopefully make a push. So
yeah. And just for fun, LAFC is 15th. And basically, you know how good football plays good football, whatever that good soccer is. He said, so thinking that the team consistently getting middle of the road results from more than here now is probably middle of the road. Average team is average.
Nice. Stay now, buddy. Sam, you're doing great, dude. You're doing fantastic. Never mind. I don't want your job. You're doing great. Keep it up.
That's our little bit of shade for the week. Whatever. No. All right. So let's move on from that then and let's talk about attendance. So there's been a lot of there's been a lot of tweets going around about the home teams this week. And ultimately, Galaxy were sixth or something with 16,000. Now, I want to highlight something for everyone. Maybe people haven't been to the Diggity. This place was built to do a bunch of different sports, mostly soccer. It was soccer specific, but, it has a lot of utility. We've seen the Chargers play there. It was built in like 2001 or two or three or four.
We have the tennis courts.
Dude. 20 years right, ago,
everything.
Yeah, they thought that they could support around roughly, it changes from year to year, roughly around 27,000 fans has been the number. Now, a lot of the new soccer-specific stadiums, Cincinnati, Columbus, Bank of California, they're all 20 to 22 to 23. Mm-hmm. Our average attendance over the years is about 23,000. So they all know that now from studying the years of all of these old teams, right? But still, that so I say all of that to kind of put that in perspective, because people were like, oh, we didn't sell out. It's like, we also have one of the biggest stadiums like in the league.
The Chargers played there.
Yeah, the Chargers played there.
Dude,
yeah.
Oh my God, that attendance is even worse, dude.
Yeah, your alma mater, your alma mater is playing there. Your alma mater's being accused. So San Diego State University is playing their games there. They're being accused of being the reason of why we don't have Saturday games this season a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Go Aztecs. Go Aztecs, baby.
But anyway, 16,000 people this weekend. It was not great by any stretch of the imagination. There are a lot of criticisms. So people were pissed. Okay, so let me back it all up. 16,000 people on top of people posting a whole bunch of food that is subpar.
Oh my God, yeah, right, it is the bad. Pizza.
Chancho's is missing. I don't know if it's coming back. Chancho's tacos, come back. And above all, the Galaxy Outlaws went to go out and participate in their what is becoming a traditional celebration in the parking lot with a little bit of flares and fireworks and drumming. They go outside this weekend and they see the sheriff's department all over the place preventing it from happening. So you have the subpar attendance, you have the food and the stadium experience that, you know, has maybe taken a little bit of a dip because of the pandemic. Let's give them that one. And what was I going to say? The sheriff's department, and they've banned the hot dog vendors now again, which has happened multiple times. What is going on with the team and the digs and the attendance? What do you think? What would you do, or what would you change and fix to try and bolster the attendance there at the stadium?
I mean, when I went on Twitter and I saw the thing about the food, it really goes up to the ownership and sort of how we run our team from the business side. I feel like, I don't know how AEG doesn't look at that and see something wrong, and especially being a flagship team in the league, like there just needs to be better service. And they're just, I honestly couldn't tell you what we need to do. Do you have any ideas? Because it's literally such a big stadium.
The only thing
the ownership sucks, and the police are telling us to go home, dude.
Yeah. So, AEG has almost sold the Galaxy before. Rumor has it that some of the owners across town were interested in doing a group like ownership for the Galaxy at a time, but Anschutz and AEG did not like the price, so they didn't sell. And then things have happened, like Geo. And fucking Shelvic and the Sianis and all of the contracts we've had to buy out over the years, right? AEG has put up a filthy amount of money to help put the team, the product on the field, to have that be better in recent years. And I felt like the stadium was getting that way too. They've certainly upgraded it and built it out a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's not good food there or whatever, but it seems like it's lacking a little bit of something that we can't put our fingers on, and clearly maybe linked to this attendance issue. It could also be COVID. People are not coming out still. That's fine. I don't want people to come out that aren't comfortable or vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, please stay home. Dude, I don't know. And then you had the hot dog vendors and the sheriff and No Cheech and all of this stuff. And it just seems that like the game day took a really weird dip this weekend. I don't know what it was. It was super weird. Oh, the only thing I want is Wi-Fi, though. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. And when I went to Portland, the attendance was great there. I mean, it wasn't – from Roland's perspective, Roland said the stadium – seemed kind of empty, and we needed to work on filling those seats. So even an outsider that hadn't even been here, that was a noticeable thing to him. But for us that go, the attendance to that game, I felt like the stadium was pretty full. So it's interesting how we gauge it, because we have this big home and a big family, but can't fill it.
Yeah. And it's a lot to fill. Like we've said, like we routinely, when things are going well, we routinely pull higher attendance because we can seat more people.
And we have stars to bring in the people that want to come play.
Right. And watch. I don't ever really stress the attendance thing. It's like, whatever, we didn't sell the stadium out. It's 27,000 seats.
We never do it.
So I think the stadium feels capacity usually, like when we're around 23, 24, which is our average, and B block is full and all of that. And they're doing a great job in B block and Riot Squad too. Those sections have been bumping. Riot Squad was bumping last time around. But the 16,000 number on a Sunday afternoon was pretty startling to me.
Yeah, so shocking.
I was just thinking about that. Okay. Dude, that takes us about to the end. Do you have any final thoughts?
Not thoughts related directly to the Galaxy, but thoughts related to a special number 10 that is no longer at his squad.
Dude, Barcelona. Shit show.
Fucked it up, man. You fucked it up, Barcelona. It really did. You really did.
You pushed your star out. So we're of course talking about Messi's moving departure from Barcelona to Paris. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's on the way today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting time. It's the end of an era. I'd love to see the new faces that come out of La Liga. I think that'll be fun. And I'm excited for the Super Cup tomorrow. Chelsea take on Villarreal at around 12 o'clock our time, you know, up the Blues. Let's get our first trophy at our first opportunity, our first game and first opportunity to bring home a trophy this season. So I think we should go all out for it and play our guys. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for me in terms of football thoughts, soccer thoughts for me. So I'm chilling.
Cool. And I just checked the Twitters right now before we sign off here to see if anything has happened. Being at the middle of the day is kind of funny because things are going as we record. Somebody said, okay, so the LA Galaxy posted something where so Raul Vargas, the kit man, the guy you see with the five rings.
Yeah, the five ring docile.
Yeah, that's right. So the Galaxy said that he is a legend, and he is. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. So much love coming off the bench or coming towards his way with players coming off the bench as he's helping them during games. You see it all the time. It's awesome. But Robbie Keane posts, he certainly is. McGee posts, facts. Van Damme posts, amen. Jermaine Jones posts, the man himself. David Beckham said, the man I miss the most, Raul Vargas. So
damn, he's been a G for a long time.
Yeah, the true G. Yeah. So that's it. That's another G30 podcast. We hope you enjoy this new look. And this new streamlinedness. It was really easy this time. Yeah. We've been struggling, Mike, a little bit to kind of get things the way we want. But other than that, our tags are there. So it feels weird to say hit them with the socials, but we got the podcast people, Mike. So hit them with the socials.
So if you guys have listened this far into the podcast, you guys come check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at the G30 Podcast. It is the G30 Podcast. And if you want to come check me out on my socials, you can see it right here. Or if you don't, you can come do that at CFC Michael on Twitter. So that'll be it for me today. And that's a G30.
Yep. And I am out at CountTrack786 on Twitter. It's a mouthful. And peace. See you guys later.